Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Nick Ibarra Podcast. I am Nick Ibarra, your host. The Nick Ibarra Podcast is a discussion about family, fitness, finance, and anything else we can find compelling and worth discussing. Hey guys, so it has been several months since I have done a podcast, and I'll be quite frank with you, there's not really any excuses I have other than I just haven't gotten around to it. And so if you enjoyed what I put down several months ago for several episodes, I appreciate it, and I'm back. I'm going to try and do a little bit better. I felt compelled to address something, not my opinion on it, or whether or not I think it's right or wrong, but address the actual act and what it's meant or intended to do, or what the solution that people are looking for is. And what I'm talking about is the rioting with regards to George Floyd's death in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at the hands of a police officer. Obviously, at least one officer has been arrested and charged with murder, and three other officers have been relieved of their duties as police officers. And the riots continue. And so the question is, are riots effective? And that's what we're going to discuss today. And if they are effective or if they aren't, why? So in the end, what are we trying to do by rioting? We are trying to effectuate change through civic engagement. Rioting, I see rioting or protesting or assembling or marching or, whatever you want to call it or whatever the act is, because those are all very different things. But they're all a type of civic engagement. And in my mind, they're all very short-minded civic engagement activities in the sense of they come, they happen, and they go. And so if we're truly trying to effectuate change, do we not want to effectuate change for the long term? And if we do want to effectuate change for the long term, whether it's the death of minorities at the hands of law enforcement officers, or who is in public office, or shutdowns for COVID, whatever it is, are we willing to stay the duration? And as we stay the duration, what tactics do we need to use? You know, as a military guy myself, I understand that your tactics on day one are certainly going to be different than your tactics on day two, day five, month three, and year four. And so then we have to ask ourselves those questions too. So we can only riot, we can only protest, we can only assemble, and we can only march for so long before it begins to fall on deaf ears. As anything, you know, we end up being the person who cried wolf. And it's not that we have something that's not worth rioting. Well, I will say, let me back up. Rioting is not the answer. There's not anything, you know, we're going to be seen as maybe we're a group of people, or you are a group of people. I'm not involved in the rioting. I'm not going to discuss my position on this podcast or publicly in any capacity with regards to what's going on. But if you are involved in the rioting, how many times can you riot before people say, well, there they go rioting again? How many times can you assemble or march or protest before the people that can actually help you make the change that you want to make are saying, well, they got the kickoff going, but they didn't block, they didn't defend, they didn't get on the offensive for any more than the initial kickoff. And so what I'm talking about is the long game. And I said it before a second ago, but if we're not willing to stick in it for the long game, then it's going to fall on deaf ears. Now, as a little bit of a background, as somebody who watches these things and who analyzes and I do have my conclusions about what's going on. The fact of the matter is that I've been either in this business or watching this business as a ex-player of the business for almost 15 years, okay? And so when I came home from Iraq, I saw a lot of things that were wrong with the city, the city of Springfield, Missouri, which is where I lived then, live now, and have lived since. And I was upset, and people were upset, and people were voicing their opinions. And I thought, why are people just voicing their opinions about how bad, how upset they are? And then people started doing petitions to audit the government on certain financial issues that were of concern. And then we found out through the audits that there were some serious mismanagement of funds when it came to retirement funds of certain city employees. And so here's the thing. They understood that the first part of the tactical game was to be upset and to voice that upset. But then the second play was to petition. And then the third play was after you got the results of the petition that you were trying to get answers, you know, the reason you were petitioning, we find out that there is serious mismanagement. Well, what do we do then? Well, that's when we move to the election cycle. And I'm telling you right now, I've never seen something so amazing and so unreal that it would actually happen, but it did. And in 2007 and 2009, there were two separate elections that happened that every single person that was in office in 2006 during the frustration of everything going on, every single person in office was kicked out of office or didn't run for re-election. In my personal opinion, out of fear of being kicked out of office, shamefully, because the people got together, they figured out how to change, and they made that change happen. And so, my role in the situation, I was part of the change in that I was one of the people who ran for office and I won office. And in 2009, I took office as Springfield City Councilman. And on the back of the election cycle before me were four or five other people, I forget the exact number now, but the other half of city council had also been turned over. So in 2 years, we completely changed the makeup of an entire city council of the third largest city in the state of Missouri. And how did we do that? We understood that it was going to take years. We understood that we couldn't just be pissed off and, yell and scream and do all this different shit and then go home and start watching reality TV. No, we need to be studying the topics. We need to be knowing the facts, understanding the statistics, and knowing what the next step was, okay? So let's talk about rioting itself or marching or peaceably assembling or protesting, whatever you want to call it. Is that the answer? Rioting, in my personal opinion, is never the answer. You never have a right to burn property down. You never have a right to assault people, to steal, to loot, to do anything like that. That is not the answer. So we're going to take that off the board. Let's talk about marching, assembling, protesting, those kinds of things. What do you want the question? What is the question? What is the end result? What is the end result that you want? Is it that you want to have your voice heard and then you want to go home and call it a day? Well, then if that's the answer, absolutely, go ahead. March, assemble, protest. But if you want to truly effectuate change, that's just your kickoff. Okay, so let's talk about in particular the George Floyd situation. People say end racism. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna be honest with you. Racism isn't going anywhere. And I'll tell you what my personal belief is racism is a mental disorder. It is absolutely a mental disorder to think that because of the color of your skin, you are better than any one person because they have a different color of skin. 100% wrong, 100% proven wrong, and we only have to look at history and the magnificent achievements that several people have made, whether they were Hispanic, whether they were black, whether they were white, and in my mind, skin color just simply doesn't matter. I don't care what color you are, where you come from, what you do. What matters is your work ethic, how you treat other people, and how you carry yourself, and that's really what it comes down to. Now, if we want to say we want to end racism, you can go ahead and stop there because the shit ain't ending, okay? But if we want to effectuate change in, let's say, this situation, the police force and how they operate and how they treat minorities, then how do we do that? We need to make sure that we're hiring the right officers to do the job in the capacity that we want it done and at the same time are able to uphold the law in a just and equitable fashion, okay? How do we do that? We need to make sure that the HR department that does the hiring of those police officers not only hires the right officers, but also keeps them educated through continuing education courses, classes, etc., on the do's and don'ts. And I'm not saying that they have to go through 200 hours a year of anti-discriminatory classes or education, because you know what? In reality, shit can only go so far before you can be knocking on an empty door. And so that's a whole different discussion. But the reality is that we need to make sure that the HR department is a key player in this situation when hiring officers. Now, The next step to consider is how do we make sure that the HR department is doing what it's supposed to be doing, operating how it's supposed to operate, and manned by the right personnel? Well, we got to make sure that we have the right police chief in office. Okay, so if the police chief is somebody who runs for office similar to like a sheriff's department or something like that, that's one thing, and so we can kind of skip this step. But if we are worried about a police chief that is appointed or hired by, let's say, a city council or a board of aldermen or appointed by a mayor or however you want to look at it, well, how do we make sure that the person that's getting hired is the right person? And that's where you come into play, is we make sure that the mayor we elect, the city council we elect, the board of aldermen we elect, whoever it is that we need to elect that makes that decision are the right people in office. So then we get into, are you even fucking voting? Because if you're not voting, you can march all you want, but reality is the elected officials don't give a shit, okay? And I'll get to that in a minute. But in order to make sure that the right people get into office, it's not fun. It's making sausage, y'all. Do you know how many times I had to go out in the 90-degree weather, 100-degree weather, or 9 and 10-degree weather, knocking on doors saying, hey, vote Nick Ibarra because I'll make the change that you have voiced that you want to make happen at the city level of government? I had, you know, friends and family and everybody else doing the same thing, walking around handing business cards out, knocking door to door, because they believed in me and I believed in my message, and enough people believed in me to vote me into office to try and make that change, to try and effectuate that change. So are you going to run for office? If you're not going to run for office, are you going to knock on doors for people who run for office? If you're too busy to do that, you must be making some all right cash. So are you going to donate to those candidates who need business cards, who need yard signs, who need airtime to be able to get them into office to effectuate the change that you're looking for? And, you know, if nothing else, what are you doing to share with your family and friends the situation you see going on, why it's wrong, how we can change it, and what you believe the solution is to get to that change is? And it really does come down to leadership. And so, look, I'm not going to give examples and say that these people are right or these people are wrong. But, you know, I talked about my experience at the city level. We can look at the Tea Party movement and how when Barack Obama was elected, he it stirred up enough controversy that in 2 years' time, they completely turned over the House and the Senate. And then you know what happened? They failed. And whether or not I agree with them or not is indifferent, but they failed when they stopped there. If they wanted to truly effectuate change, they would have been just as powerful, marching just as many times, protesting just as much, and assembling in all the same places for the next 2 years to get Barack Obama out of office. But that didn't happen, and that's where they failed. And so that's what I'm saying, the long game. The game doesn't stop just because your initial voice was heard or the initial change was made, because the initial change, I guarantee you, is not the long-term change that you're looking for. Now, we can say, okay, let's back up. We can say writing doesn't work. We can agree to that. Destroying private people's property, citizens' property, or even government property, none of it. It's not okay to burn down a Target. It's not okay to burn down a fireman's bar that he's opening as a retirement project. It's not okay to burn down any sort of government office. Absolutely not. But let's talk about the assembly, the marching, the protesting. Do those things work? Let me ask you a question. Where are they protesting? Are they protesting in the neighborhoods of the elected officials, or are they burning down the Targets that their brothers and sisters and families and friends go to? Are they blocking the streets of their own neighborhood, or are they blocking the streets of the entrance to the marketplace or the grocery store that their mayor goes to? What are they really doing? I mean, you know, right here in Springfield, they block Battlefield and Jefferson. Guarantee to you that with our city council and their age, they ain't worried about going to the fucking mall. I guarantee that. Now, what we need to understand is the mentality of our elected officials, okay? And we saw this with the coronavirus. We saw this with so many things. And at the local level, it's so much easier to manipulate than it is at the national level. But here's the thing. We have to get into the mindset of our elected officials. And what is it that they care about? They care about their re-election. They care about their status, and they care about their power. And that's a reality, and I say that from firsthand experience. There is an unquenchable thirst for power once you feel it a little bit. You know, I'd get up there and I'd make a huge point at a city council meeting that was packed full of upset people, and I'd side with them, and I'd make my grandstanding speech, and they would clap, and I would walk away from that city meeting thinking, man, that was powerful. That made me feel good. And it's not that it was a bad thing that I stood up for the people and that I was applauded by the people, but I think what can get taken to a very negative place is that feeling of power and passion. Okay. And so when we're looking at elected officials, what do they care about? Their power, their status, their position, right? So the only way possible to get them to listen is threaten that. Threaten that in a civic manner by saying, I will do everything I possibly can to get you out of office. I will donate to candidates, I will knock on doors for candidates, and I will vote for candidates in defiance of you. Okay? And until we've done that, we can't say that we've exhausted all efforts. You absolutely cannot say it because you fucking haven't. I just gave you three or four things that you can be doing this year, during an election time, that can change the course of what you want to have happen, or change the course of what happens towards the direction that you want it to happen. Okay? Now, people say, oh, well, you know, kneeling didn't work and socks didn't work and protests didn't work. So some people feel like they can't be heard, and so rioting is the only option they have left. Well, I'm here to tell you, unless those people voted, contributed to candidates, knocked on doors, or ran for office themselves, they didn't exhaust all efforts. Period. The end. I'm telling you right now, folks, until you're ready to play the long game and to either work with the leaders that are on your side or politically work towards getting out of office the leaders that are not on your side, you're going to get nowhere. These elected officials are officials that are thinking, hey, they can protest all they want. You know where they're not going to be? They're not going to be at the ballot box. They're not going to be knocking on doors for my opponent. They're not going to be contributing to the coffers of my opponent. So I'm not too worried about it. I wouldn't go into the mall anyway today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap this segment up with telling you I really appreciate you listening. I hope that you guys have had a good weekend, and I hope that something I've said today, if it is something that's touched home with you, leave me a review. Just let me know I'm doing okay. This podcast is available on Spotify, iPhone, or you know, iOS podcast, iTunes podcast, multitude of other locations. So if you enjoy it, keep listening, subscribe, give a review. And here's the thing. Think about what you're doing. Think it out thoroughly. And that doesn't mean to just go along with whatever the media is saying or whatever your next door neighbor or best friend or spouse is saying. Think about it and think about what it means to you. And then think about how the long game is the way to go. And the fact that if you're not willing to get in the long game, you're not willing to win, and you're not going to win. And you're not going to do what it takes to win. So anyways, y'all have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk soon.